Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Pierre Delecto. Comment ça va? All right, for those of you that know what I was talking about, I'll give you a second to wipe the coffee off your screens. For those of you that don't, I will explain momentarily. First, though, welcome to the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and although this is a pre-recorded show, it is a freshly pre-recorded show. Now, as far as Pierre Delecto is concerned, if you do not know who Sir Pierre is, well, not many did until a couple days ago. Apparently, Pierre Delecto is Mitt Romney's alter ego on Twitter. Yes, the 70-something paragon of virtue himself has an alter ego on Twitter that he named Pierre Delecto. Now, I'm not one to judge names. You know, a rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. However, really, Pierre Delecto? So, now, the reason I find this so psychotic, if not outright sociopathic, is that Mitt Romney used his alternative, let's call it, Twitter handle, Pierre Delecto, to defend, guess who? Mitt Romney. So basically, anytime someone had anything negative to say about Mitt Romney, he'd put on his costume and cape and transform himself into Pierre Delecto and then come to Mitt Romney's defense. Now, you're a 70-something-year-old man. Is this the best use of your time, sir? I understand that, you know, Mormonism has a way of brainwashing people. However, most people still assumed you were a rational human being. This blew up a couple days ago, and it's cringeworthy and mockworthy. And the next time you take Mitt Romney seriously as the man who stands, the man who is moral and upright, the man who will go against his own political party for the sake of what's right. Yeah. Hey, Pierre, you're still butthurt about the fact that Trump didn't elect you to be Secretary of State. And so now you do like every other coward does. You try to stab him in the back every chance you get. Maybe Pierre will come out of the woodwork and, you know, defend you. Or point out how I'm wrong in my assumption because you're just trying to do the right thing. If you don't have principles, you've got nothing at all. Well, sorry to, you know, break it to you, Pierre. But most of what this president has done has been in line with conservative thought. Now, I'm sorry that you don't like his tone, you don't like his crassness, you don't like the way he presents certain things. But if you allow your dislike of delivery, if you allow your dislike of style to blind you to the reality of substance, to blind you to the reality of the good that is being done, then maybe you should just change your name to Pierre Delecto. Move to a little vineyard in France and start making your own wine. Look, I was going to write a post this morning, and I realized that some of you wouldn't get the tongue-in-cheek, but if the same people who are advocating for everything from transgendered toddlers to abortion after the 9 months, meaning post-birth, to everything else in between, and the same so-called, you know, pearl-clutching Christian women that faint at the thought of Donald Trump saying a naughty word or being mean-spirited, the same ones that still have dog-eared copies of 50 Shades of Grey under their bed, I'm sorry, your hypocrisy is showing. And no, I'm not going to be browbeaten into silence. I'm not going to be shamed into going, oh, yes, you've convinced me. Bring on Joe Biden, who can't hold his own dentures in his mouth. Bring on Kamala Harris, who wants people to be able to hunt their own kids in their backyard as long as they can't get away. Bring on a fake Indian who profiteered throughout her adult life and got cush jobs because she thought she was American Indian. And so, you know, now if you think you're something, then you are something. Isn't that the whole point? You don't have to have any proof. If you identify as something, then you are that thing. There's a guy, a dude, a man identifying as a woman who has been demolishing every single record set by actual women cyclists. He has won every single tournament that he's been in as a cyclist, because as a man, he was probably, you know, a mediocre cyclist, somewhere middle of the pack or so. But hey, he identifies as a woman, calls himself Kimmy or some other thing, so he can race with the women, and guess what? He's winning. Where is this world headed? And most of the church, we're sidelined. We're obsessing over things that we can't control, like what, 5G and what is it now? Is Bigfoot real, or stargates and black holes and other nonsensical things that have no practical application to day-to-day life? And we're allowing society to be eroded. We're allowing everything that is culture to be dragged through the mud, to be transformed into something we can't recognize, while we're still sitting there picking our noses, wondering where the next alien invasion's going to come from. If you want to see an alien, go to Walmart at 3 in the morning. If you want to see an alien, go to Venice Beach on any sunny day in California. Why can't we focus on the things that we can actually affect? Why can't we focus on the things that we might actually have a prayer of changing if we applied ourselves, if we took the focus that the church has spread everywhere else and just focused it on this? Because the flame is getting hotter. The water is starting to boil. And we, the happy frogs, are still unaware. I want to read this to you because when I read it, it broke my heart. We talked about this in the office yesterday. Because what was the whole selling point? You remember the spiel? It's not going to affect you. It's not going to harm you. Let love be love. They're never going to try to interfere with you or how you bring up your kids or anything. Just let them do what they do. Well, now they are getting the courts involved. And the courts, even in a place as one would think conservative as Dallas, they're coming back with some decisions that make you scratch your head and weep at the same time. I'm going to read this to you so that you would understand context, perspective. So you would understand not just why I've been harping on this for the last couple years, but why those of you that are sitting in silence, hoping that by your silence they're going to pass you by, hoping that by your silence they're not going to attack you, hoping that by your silence you're not going to get what, demonetized on YouTube or get your account stricken or whatever else they do, you're not doing yourself any favors. It's only a matter of time before they come for you too. Look, I'd rather, if the ship's going down, I'd rather be trying to, you know, row rather than just sit at the bottom of the ship and watching how it fills with water, going, all right, any minute now. Look, there's something to be said for standing by your convictions, even when doing so may cost you everything. Look, it's we haven't even gotten to tyranny yet. We haven't even gotten to the point where they force you to do things or threaten you with prison. Right now, they're just shutting down, what, Facebook accounts and YouTube monetization. And most Christians are acting like they're mice in a church. Just quiet in the corner. Oh, so-and-so got demonetized because you built your house on shifting sand, on things that can be taken from you. That's why. But if a few bucks that you get from Google once in a while is worth you being silent over the things that are happening, then I'm sorry, disavow yourself of the kingdom of God. Just say, all right, I'm a turncoat. I'm a coward. I prefer the ease and comfort of being monetized on YouTube. So you know what? No longer associate me with that lot. Because as long as people still think that you're, you know, in the army of the righteous and that you're fighting evil, they'll think that being quiet and subdued and just sitting there and waiting for the end is acceptable. So that's my advice. But let's go to this, because it tore me up, to be honest with you. I wasn't right the whole day yesterday. I was just angry. Dallas court rules against dad trying to block 7-year-old's gender transition. So let's break down the title of this article and then get into the meat of it. A Dallas court, and this was a jury, by the way, a Dallas court rules against a dad, a father, trying to block a 7-year-old's gender transition. Seven. A 7-year-old's going to get pumped full of hormones, have their entire life destroyed, have their odds of committing suicide at some point in the future skyrocket because the mother, who is now the ex of this man, decided, hey, wouldn't it be great if little Bobby turned into a little Betty? So let's get into this. Because like I said, in case you thought, you know, hey, let's give them this and they'll stop. Remember when it was about, what, gay marriage? When they, if we let them have this, then everything's going to be fine. Is it now? Because now we're on to transgender 7-year-olds. And pumping them full of chemicals. A Dallas jury has granted sole custody of a 7-year-old boy to his mother, who is attempting to turn him into a girl against the wishes of the boy's father. The mother, Ann Gurgulis, is currently transitioning their son, James Younger, into Luna and sends him to school dressed as a girl. She has expressed her intention to administer puberty blockers and eventually cross-sex hormones to the child, who has a twin brother named Jude. So basically, she wanted a little girl of her own. God didn't give her one, but that's okay. She's going to fix it. Now, if you didn't catch the program we did about how many deaths have been linked to the puberty blockers that they're injecting into children, go back into the archives. It was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's astounding. It should scare the shoes off you. But no, we got Bigfoots to chase. We got 5G technology to worry about. What can we possibly do? We don't have the time for this. So here we are. The mother said, hey, I want a little girl. Not going to get married again. Not going to have another one, naturally. But I'll destroy one of my son's lives because, you know, I got two, so one came free. And turn him into a girl. I'm going to call it Luna. According to Mr. Younger, their son James has told him, Mommy tells me I'm a girl. Got that? Let that sink in again. Mommy tells me I'm a girl. Mommy sitting there stuffing her face with bonbons and, I don't know, fudge, watching RuPaul's Drag Race going, honey, look at that. They're so brave. You're a girl too. You're my little Luna. Luna. I've said this before. Some of these people need to be lobotomized. They need to have their children taken from them and be lobotomized. You should not be a functioning member of society if this is the kind of mental degradation you suffer from. This is insanity on its face, and a jury ruled against the father who all that he was trying to do was keep his son, not have him injected with hormones and chemicals that would stun their puberty and skyrocket the potential of suicide. Again, I'm going to keep hammering this home. Just so you don't think, they're going to leave us alone. And my brother just texted me this morning. They found books on alternative lifestyles in the local library. And we're in Wisconsin, for Pete's sake. There's a transitioning gentleman, lady, or something in between at the local library working there. And guess what? Now you have books on, hey, it's okay to be gay. Unicorns are rainbows too. And all this stuff, what is it? That one was old. Bobby has two mommies, or I don't know, Gwyneth has two daddies, or some other nonsense. But that's already gone. They've already won that battle. Now it's about destroying your children. Now it's about pumping 7-year-old full of hormones and drugs and hormone blockers. Having them go under the knife and have pieces that they were born with severed from them. So that they live as an oddity for the rest of their lives. Just so Miss Ann Gorgolis can have her little girl. Luna. Let me read this paragraph to you again, because it's essential. See, it's no longer about, hey, my kid thinks he's a girl. It's, mommy tells me I'm a girl. Do you realize the depravity to which we've sunk as a society? Do you realize the depravity to which we've sunk as a culture? According to Mr. Younger, their son James has told him, Mommy tells me I'm a girl. Gorgolis held a coming out party for James on his 5th birthday, for which she clothed him in a dress, Younger says. Again, I don't like being repetitive. If you go back in the archives, you will find a program, me discussing parents and why they do these things. I guarantee you, I would be willing to wager anything that when Miss Gergulis had the coming out party for her son James and dressed him in a dress, she was the belle of the ball. She was the center of attention. That little boy dressed as a girl, confused out of his mind, was just a prop. It was all about Anne Gergulis. It was about Anne Gergulis being told that she's brave. It was about Anne Gergulis being told that she's a trailblazer. It was about Anne Gergulis being told that, oh, honey, you're so courageous for taking this step. It wasn't about her son. She couldn't care less. No normal parent that loves their child would inject them with the stuff that is demonstrated to have killed over 65,000 people. So let's not even go there. Well, she loves him so much, she's willing to transition him into a her. This was never about the child. This was always about Anne Gergulis getting her 15 minutes. It was always about her being called brave and courageous by other bonbon-eating divorcees. Younger insists that James never presented himself as a girl to me ever, and he violently rejects any female identity, but that he dresses like a girl around his mother because he believes she will not love him as a boy. Speechless. I keep becoming speechless recently, reading the latest headlines, and it's troubling because it's no longer a one-off. It's no longer, hey, this happened and it's so rare, we're going to talk about it. I seem to be speechless now every other week. So it's not about the boy. To Miss Gergulis, the boy is irrelevant. To Miss Gergulis, she could play both parts of Solomon's two mothers. And she'd be the one going, hey, you know, if he can't be a girl, then just kill it. I got another spare. I got another one. They're twins. If he can't be a girl, just kill it. Look, again, how do we not deserve judgment at this point? That's going to be my standing intro. For the next however long I decide to do it, every single radio program, I'm going to start with the top five reasons this week that we deserve judgment. Because I got pushback from, what was it, last week's program? Well, brother, you know, there's sinful nations everywhere. But we're leading the pack and we should know better, huh? So we're going to do that starting next week. Top five reasons this week that we deserve judgment. And if I started it this week, this would be at the top of the pile. By a majority vote of 11 of the 12 jurors, the jury granted sole managing conservatorship over the twin boys. And Judge Kim Cook said will announce her ruling on possession, child support, and other matters on Wednesday afternoon. Gorgulis is the one who brought the lawsuit seeking fewer overnight stays for James with his father and requesting that Younger's visit with the boys be supervised. So this ghoul of a woman, This soulless, just skin suit, is the one who brought the lawsuit because she didn't want the father of the boys who was actually engaged in their lives to spend as much time as she was with them. And you know what? I'll bet you anything. The reason she didn't want it is because every time the boy came home after spending time with his dad, he was acting a little too much like a boy. Can you believe it? Boys around their dads act like boys. And when their mom says, I won't love you if you don't put on a dress, well, then they put on a dress. 7 years old. What 7-year-old deserves this sort of hell? What 7-year-old? Tell me. Every single member of that jury save the one that didn't vote for this nonsense should be caned publicly. So it was the mother that brought the lawsuit, seeking fewer overnight stays for James with his father and requesting that Younger's visits with the boys be supervised. Never said he harmed them, never said he was violent, but he disagreed with the new religion, transgenderism in 7-year-olds. Don't you want to be brave too? And you know what? I'm waiting. I am waiting for Pierre Delecto to chime in. Come on, Pierre, say something.
No, you're entertaining the idea of removing the president from office. No, he didn't commit any crimes, you know, high crimes or misdemeanors, but I just don't like the way he acts. I don't like the fact that he keeps, you know, throwing rocks into the perfectly oiled machine that is globalism.
Thank you, Pierre. Go back to tweeting in defense of Mitt Romney now. Gorgolis recently revealed that her sons James and Jude are not biologically related to her. Gorgolis recently revealed that her sons, James and Jude, are not biologically related to her since they were the product of in vitro fertilization with the use of a heterologous egg donor. And allow me to parenthesize just a bit. For those of you young men that are looking to settle down and marry and have a family, just avoid crazy. Run away. I understand. She looks perfect except for the crazy part. Run away. Because this is your future. And sane women are rare, but they are out there. Women who, you know, patriarchy, oh no! No, they're fine with being married and being mothers and learning what it is to be a family and complimenting their husband and their husband complimenting them. You know, what passed for family in 2 decades ago? There's still women out there that want that. But man, run away from crazy because they will upturn your life like nobody's business. Mr. Younger has expressed concerns that Gorgolis is setting James up for a lifetime of misery. Of course she is, and she doesn't care because she's a ghoul. Her justification might even be, hey, they're not mine biologically anyway. Might as well get some bravery points out of it. Transgender individuals suffer from more psychological issues than the general population. No kidding. Have shorter lifespans, scientifically proven, and are more likely to commit suicide. Exactly what we've been discussing. But hey, this is what's getting pushed on 7-year-olds, 5-year-olds, kids that barely know how to tie their shoes, kids that... You have to tell them not to eat their boogers because they don't know any better. But they're mature enough to make these decisions for themselves. It wasn't this boy. Give this boy and his brother 6 months with their dad And I guarantee you he'll never put on a dress again. And that's what the mother was afraid of. That's why she sued. Because, oh no, I'm losing my little Luna. I'm losing the reason women look up to me. I'm losing the only thing that set me apart from every other smelly hog that decides to throw their child on the altar of transgenderism just to get a little fame. Yes, I'm angry. And you know what? You should be too. If this kind of stuff doesn't make you angry, then I'm sorry, you're stone. You're ice. Especially if you're a dad. Especially if you have kids. Because apparently now the only thing that you're good for as a father is to write the alimony checks. You have no say in how your children are raised anymore. You can't object to a woman's insanity who wanted a little girl so bad she convinced her 70-year-old that he's going to be a little girl whether he likes it or not. What have we become and how quickly? I hang my head in shame. Literally. I hang my head in shame. And it's more shame regarding the church's silence and the church's inability to form a coherent pushback against this kind of nonsense. I'm sorry that we're so uber sensitive. Anytime someone says the word bigot or transphobe, we get all, you know, blushy and run away. Until we start growing a backbone, until we get some steel in our spine, until we stand for what is right, no matter the names that they call us, it's only going to get worse. Look, I read a story today. It was either New Hampshire or Massachusetts that are now criminalizing words. So if you're overheard using a certain word, you can go to prison. So now words are violent. What happened to sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And look, if this continues, if this keeps going, collapse is inevitable. We can't. We can't. There is no way there is continuity with this sort of lunacy. Last Friday, protesters reportedly urged Texas lawmakers to pass legislation barring anyone under 18 years of age from beginning a medical transition, arguing that children cannot comprehend the lifelong consequences of this decision and that parents should not be allowed to make this choice for their children. Amen. Allow me to repeat myself. Amen. This is happening in Texas. And right now, the reasonable, logical human beings still walking among us realize how dangerous a precedent this is. Right now, we have very little aggregate data to say, hey, all right, suicide rate through the roof, mortality rate from the drugs through the roof. Maybe we should curb it on transitioning 5 and 7-year-olds, huh? But the lunatics among us are the loudest. And you know that old saying, the greasy wheel or the squeaky wheel always gets the grease. And I think that that's what's happening here. It's the squeaky wheels are getting the grease. And I don't know, maybe it's time for the church to squeak a little, huh? Maybe it's time for us to say, hey, this is lunacy on its face. This is crazy. But no, we couldn't insult somebody and call them crazy. That's not very loving, brother. Really. And letting a 7-year-old be pumped full of hormones, get sliced and diced and remade into something that God never intended, that's loving, you say. Got it. Good. Okay. Good. I'm glad we're on the same page. I'm glad that we're reading from the same handbook. So that was the big story that kind of ruined my day yesterday. As far as everything else going on, look, everything's the same and nothing has changed. They're still trying to find the crime to pin on the man, like the Russians used to say, show me the man and I will show you the crime. Well, they've tried, this is the third try to attempt and pin something on this administration and this president. The first was the payoffs to some lady. The second was Mueller, and now it's Ukraine. They're not going to stop. They can't. They've got no other play. They realize that the average citizen doesn't really resonate with the idea of open borders and welfare for illegals and basically being made serfs and slaves to people that shouldn't be in their country in the first place. Because you know what? If we open the borders and everyone can get on welfare and get free health care, it's not free. I'm so sorry. It's not free. Somebody gonna have to pay, and guess who? Do you pay federal income tax? Well, if you do, congratulations. You'll get to pay more. So they know this is not, it's not going to shake out the way they want it. They've got to do everything they can. And what's being exposed right now is that there is this nucleus within government, people that are considered, you know, lifers, people that have been in government for administrations on end, that think they somehow have the right to direct this country and guide it wherever they want it to go. I don't see how this is going to end well. And it's only getting worse. And so on the one side, you have the political lunatics. On the other side, you have the cultural lunatics and the church is where? That's the question. That's the question with which we must be confronted every single day. Where is the church in all of this? Because if it's somewhere, then it's hiding. It's using really good camouflage because nobody can see it. And I don't believe that we were ever meant to just sit by and watch civilization eroding before our eyes and not lift a hand. Show that to me scripturally, biblically. Look, even if you, in the strictest interpretation, all you do is preach the gospel. The fact that by preaching the gospel, some will be converted and thereby change their way of life, you will have inadvertently helped shape society for the better. But we've demonized morality. It's the oddest thing to witness. Being moral, having a family, being a decent human being is now something to be mocked and ridiculed. If some of these people had their way, every church would be torn down and all you'd have is strip joints and weed bars. That's it. That's the only thing we really need. And where's the church? I don't know. We're off doing something. I'm sure it's very important. Maybe we'll do an expose on aliens in the Bible or something. That should really bump our numbers. Maybe we can go and take over Area 51 and prove that something or other. Now, I read this article this morning, and look, there are a few guys within the administration that I like more than a man named Stephen Miller. He's not very well known, but he writes a lot of the president's speeches, and the man is brutally honest. And I was reading this morning, and I thought, some of you may have seen it, some of you might have not, but we're going to go through this a little bit, because I think that the point he's trying to make is correct. It's true. And this is what we need to understand. It's no longer about Republican or Democrat. It's about globalist and nationalist. It's whether you want a sovereign nation or you want to be a citizen of the world. And the article this man wrote, it's actually an opinion piece, is titled "Permanent Bureaucracy, a Mortal Threat to America." And we've talked about the permanent bureaucracy on and off. And for the last few episodes, I've sort of laid off of politics because it's the same thing. Look, unless you have some sort of evidence and not hearsay and not something that somebody heard from somebody else that somebody else told them, stop. But they can't. They can't stop. They have to just keep egging this on. They're hoping to drag this along until November of next year. And even then, they know that they're going to lose. But this article begins by saying this. Anonymous efforts by anti-Trump federal bureaucrats to thwart the White House agenda through leaks and complaints to friendly reporters and congressional allies are a mortal threat to democracy and the 2016 election results, according to a top administration official. This is a mortal threat to the American system of government, said Stephen Miller, the senior advisor for policy. I agree. In a less civilized time, what has been attempted would be seen as a coup. What has been attempted by some of these permanent bureaucrats would be seen as treason. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. When you're attempting to undermine your own nation, your own nation's sovereignty, your own nation's president, because these bureaucrats work for the president of the United States. To try to undermine him is treasonous, but nobody wants to talk about that. Was there quid pro quo? Apparently there wasn't. But man, Adam Schiff's really trying to find it, isn't he? Secret hearings, behind closed doors, nobody allowed in, leaked transcripts. Where are they getting leaked from? Let's just, come on. Is there anyone within that entire Congress that has an IQ above 72? If you're the only ones in the room, who's leaking? Good question, isn't it? In 2016, President Trump ran against Washington's deep state and permanent bureaucracy, said Miller, and they remain so angry that they're lying, leaking, and attacking the administration's agenda. The latest example is the planned book written by an anonymous inside critic that follows efforts by bureaucrats to thwart Trump policies with leaks to liberal media and Democrats on Capitol Hill. In an interview, Miller called inside attacks a very grave threat, and explained it this way. It is best understood as career federal employees that believe they're under no obligation to honor, respect, or abide by the results of a Democratic election. Their view is, if I agree with what voters choose, then I'll do what they choose. If I disagree with what voters choose, then I won't, and I'll continue doing my own thing. So basically, it's heads I win, tails you lose. If you elect Hillary Clinton, then I'll implement all of her policies very faithfully. And if I see massive evidence of corruption on Hillary Clinton's part, then I'll keep it all a secret. If you elect a candidate I disagree with, then I'll lie, I'll leak, I'll cheat, I'll smear, I'll attack, I'll persecute, and I will refuse to implement. And I will obstruct at every single step of the way. And that encapsulates what has been happening in this country for the last 3 years. People who disagreed with the outcome are doing their best to either reverse the outcome or slow things down so dramatically that very little success is had as far as this administration is concerned. Where do we go from here? That is yet another question that we have to ask. Because I understand, look, I'm not advocating for anybody, but if you align yourself with a certain position, and then you look to the left and to the right, and you see that everyone to your left and to the right of you who are on the same side of the position that you've chosen are, you know, ghouls, are reprobate human beings, maybe rethink your position. That's all I'm saying. Because it takes a real callousness to be as hypocritical as some of our politicians are being. Let me just put it that way. It takes a callousness that I'm certain I'm unable to replicate. I cannot attain that level of callousness. That's why I don't believe I'll ever be a politician. Because when you condemn somebody else for something you yourself did or are doing, that is the definition of hypocrisy. Yet for these people, it's just another day in the park. It's just another spin of the wheel. It's just another attempt to have it their way, even though the people voted a certain way. Now, the latest breaking news, and this is of October the 23rd, 2019, is that there is now a permanent ceasefire between the Kurds and the Turks. I don't know how long that'll last because the word permanent apparently is not in the Middle Eastern dialect. Of course, I'm being facetious. But yes, there has been a permanent ceasefire that has been declared, and the military leader of the Syrian Kurds thanks Trump for his involvement. Now, I know that for the past 2 weeks, all we've been hearing is that we are sending the Kurds to slaughter. My position has always been, you give me a scenario where us getting involved militarily makes sense and brings out a positive outcome. Because for us to go against the Turks would mean to go against someone who is in NATO and to go against a NATO ally. So unless we're willing to declare war against the NATO ally, we need to work this thing out diplomatically. Well, apparently, as of now, it seems that a permanent ceasefire, has been worked out. General Mazlum Abdi, the preeminent military leader of the Syrian Kurds, thanked President Donald Trump on Wednesday for his efforts in stopping a Turkish offensive and negotiating a ceasefire. General Mazloum, who leads the Syrian Democratic Forces, the SDF, issued his statement shortly after the president announced the U.S. was lifting economic sanctions on Turkey in return for its commitment to a permanent ceasefire. The commitment has been announced the day before when Russia and Turkey agreed to joint patrols within 10 kilometers of the Syrian-Turkey border and the Kurdish People's Protection Units agreed to withdraw 30 kilometers south of the border. So I know that this would this will make some of the war hawks very sad because there will be no bloodshed. However, it seems that for now, diplomacy has won the day. Well, diplomacy and crippling sanctions. Because when you have the preeminent economy in the world, and when all the other economies of the world are to a greater or lesser degree counting or dependent on your goodwill, you can use that as leverage. That's the way it should be done before we send our bravest and brightest and best human beings to go and spill blood in the sand. And again, I don't see how we could declare war on a NATO ally because they did what they've always been doing with the Syrians. So that was my position last week. Apparently, it has been resolved as of now via diplomacy. And let me just say this. This is the one outcome that the other side was not hoping for. Because you might not believe the following assertion, but I very much doubt that many of the upper echelon politicians in America today care that American soldiers get wounded, get maimed, get killed. I very much doubt that they lose sleep over dead soldiers, because if they did, they would not be so quick to encourage that we send our soldiers to die. War must be the last resort. War must be the last thing you go to when all other options are exhausted. But by what some of our politicians have said, it seems that war is the only thing on their mind. Because to them, it's about the outcome. It's not about winning a war. It's about being able to bludgeon this administration over the head every time a soldier loses his life, even though they were for the war that we engaged in the first place. Politics is a dirty business. Politicians, by and large, are dirty people. And although at some point in the long, long past, people got into public service out of a sense of duty, even though long, long ago, people came to serve and they gave up their lives for 4 years or 8 years because they thought they could do well by the citizenry of these United States. Those days are long gone. The honorable have been replaced by grifters. The selfless have been replaced by a permanent class of politician who has become exceedingly wealthy, not through merit or hard work, but by exchanging their position of power and their influence for money. If you tell me Maxine Waters could have earned a $4 million mansion anywhere else other than in Congress, allow me to be skeptical in the least. And I could go through the list, and it's not just on the Democrat side, but on the Republican side too. It's strange, though. All of these people that retire from serving the people so selflessly, they retire millionaires and, oddly enough, go on to either be consultants or sit on boards and rake in many more millions still. So this is where we are as a nation. Something needs to change. Because if it doesn't, this constitutional republic, as we know it, will not be long for this world. It cannot go on like this. Because we are seeing the inconsistency. We are seeing that there's no such thing as equal representation under the law. Apparently, some people are above the law in this country. And what you would go to prison for, they're able to brag about on television, and no one says a thing. And with that, I thank you all for joining us. Thank you for listening to this program. Lord willing, we will be with you again next week, if not live, then recorded. May God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. If you want a return at some point of Pierre, let me know. And perhaps Monsieur Pierre, Pierre Delecto, will make an unannounced return. Until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Just want to say that we have scheduled meetings coming up November 2nd, and that will be in Shipshawana, Indiana. That will be at Ben's Pretzels Conference Center at 100 East Berkshire Road or Drive in Shipshawana. And that will be at 6:30 p.m. Sunday, November 3rd, we will be at the Northwoods Chapel in Napanee, Indiana. And that meeting will be at 10 o'clock in the morning. So those are upcoming meetings that will be coming up. Also, if you can, please check out our website, handofhelp.com. Many of the dreams of Dimitri Dudeman and Michael are on the website, including literature, books, CDs, DVDs. And it's also our website will shares each month the work we're doing in Romania with the orphan kids at the orphanage, and how you can sponsor an orphan and get behind helping these children. So we also want to let you know that there are many books on the website, and a favorite has been The Battle Ready Believer that Mike's put out. And also, we've been really promoting and the Through the Fire book, especially in this hour, as more of what God showed Dimitri is just simply coming to pass. And people are around the country are seeing pretty much the writing on the wall. And so go to handofhelp.com if you have a prayer request or a need. You can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. And again, we will put this program up on the YouTube site where all the Light of Truth broadcasts are. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.